From reading the book of Hebrews, we understand that the original recipients of the letter were converts to Christ out of Judaism. In the first century, there was a large population of Jewish believers in the church. The church started out with a core of Jewish believers in Christ. The book of Hebrews was written to some of these converts to Christ out of Judaism who were still hanging on to some old Jewish traditions and contemplating possibly renouncing Christ and going back to Judaism. The book of Hebrews is trying to persuade these converts not to renounce their faith in Christ and go back to Judaism. So, the book makes a case for the preeminent supremacy of Jesus Christ and why we must be faithful to Him and why we must persevere in faith in Christ. Hebrews was written to persuade its original recipients to persevere in faith in Christ, and it serves the same purpose with us. It is written to us to persuade us to persevere to the end in faith in Christ. So the book makes its case with many appeals to the Old Testament Scriptures. And then Hebrews 10:39 ends like this: "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." After having said that, the book gives somewhat of a definition of faith and then devotes a whole chapter to the life of faith using examples of the lives of Old Testament saints. We've already looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah. Today we come to the life of Abraham. The story of Abraham is told in Genesis chapters 12 through 24. That is too much to read and digest in one sermon, so we won't read it. We will just go by what is written in Hebrews chapter 11 and hope that you are familiar with Abraham from Genesis. Or you can go back and read those chapters in Genesis on your own. I want to deal with this section on the faith of Abraham by asking some questions. The first question is, why is Abraham a good example of faith? One thing about Abraham that's very interesting is that he's regarded as great in other religions of the earth. He's great in Mohammedanism. I'm told that Abraham's name appears in 188 times in the Quran, although I have not verified that. But I do know that he is considered a great man by Muslims, having been the father of Ishmael. You would think that it would be possible to make the link from Abraham to Jesus, to a proper understanding of Jesus with someone from a Muslim background, were they not so blinded by personal prejudice and traditions and by the writings of Muhammad? In Judaism, Abraham is regarded as the father and the founder. He is mentioned over 230 times in the Old Testament, and that alone would indicate that he is an important person. In John chapter 8, Jesus got into a discussion with some Jews who claimed to be Abraham's seed, Abraham's offspring, and they said to Jesus, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." In Christianity, we also consider Abraham to be a great man because of what the Bible teaches about Him. His name appears 73 times in the New Testament and over 300 times in the entire Bible. We do know that God calls Him great. Genesis 18, 17 and 18 says, "The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?'" In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, he is called the friend of God. 2 Chronicles 27 says, "Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" James chapter 2, verse 23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness.'" And he was called a friend of God. That in itself is enough for us to say that Abraham was a great man. In fact, we, if we are believers in Christ, are called children of Abraham because we are heirs of the Abrahamic covenant through Jesus Christ. So he is a great example of faith, not only to the original recipients of Hebrews, but he is a great example to us as well. What did Abraham do by faith? Verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Verse 9 says, "By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise." Verse 17 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son." Abraham was living in Ur of the Chaldees when God appeared to him and called him to leave his country and his kindred and his father's house and to go to a land. Abraham didn't know where he was going. And at this point, he didn't ask any questions. He just obeyed God. Stephen thought so much of that in his great sermon in chapter 7 of the book of Acts, he begins with that. Luke writes, "Then the high priest said, as he turned to him in the light of the accusations made against Stephen, 'Are these things so?' And Stephen began his message this way, 'Brethren and fathers, listen, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives, and come to a land that I will show you.'" Abraham obeyed God, and that is the testimony of his faith. Obedience is an important element of faith. It is a contradiction for someone to say that they have faith in God and then refuse to obey God. Abraham obeyed God, and then he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents. What does it mean, living in tents? What is the significance of that? Tents are not permanent structures. Tents are temporary. Verse 13 says, "They lived as strangers and exiles on the earth." Abraham realized that his permanent, lasting home was not on this earth, but in heaven. That is a very important lesson for us. This world is not our permanent home. This world is nobody's permanent home. This world, if you look at it, really is just a big cemetery. Biblical faith does not get too attached to this present world and the things of this present world. Then Abraham was tested and he passed the test. There came a day when God told Abraham to take Isaac up on Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice on an altar. Abraham obeyed God and was about to plunge the knife into the boy when God stopped him, and God provided a ram instead. But God proved the genuineness of Abraham's faith. Some of the difficulties that we face in life are tests of our faith. God tests our faith to see if it is genuine or not. Abraham's faith was genuine. Abraham obeyed God and left his homeland. He dwelt in tents as a stranger and foreigner, signifying that he was not too attached to the things of this present world. He passed the test when he was asked to offer Isaac on the altar. That is a summary of Abraham's life of faith. Now, what made Abraham's faith effective? The short answer to that is that God made Abraham's faith effective. I want to point out some things to you. First of all, the call of God. In verse 8, we read these words, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called." Don't overlook that word, called. Abram didn't seek the Lord. Abram was living in Ur of the Chaldees, and his family was an idol-worshipping family. It was God who initiated the salvation of Abraham. He was called by God. It was God who appeared to him and called him out of the situation in which he found himself in Mesopotamia. The Holy Spirit worked in his heart and brought regeneration to him, and then he responded in faith by obedience. That's really what the Lord does for you and me, isn't it? He does that right here in the United States of America in the 21st century. He speaks to us in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. There's an outward call, and that is the message that goes out from the preaching of His Word, but there is an inward call too. The inward call is when He brings us to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as our Savior and gives us a new life. At the same time, He calls us to come apart from the society in which we live. We are still in that society, but we are different from that society in that Jesus Christ is our Lord and King and Master. Our allegiance is to Him, and our behavior and our mindset is changed by Him so that the world is contrary to us. We are different. We are very different if we have been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We have a source of life that is different from the world around us. Our minds are transformed by the Word of God. Our hearts are inflamed by the love of God, and our wills are subdued by the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We can no longer be friends with the world because this world is in rebellion against our God and against our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are not attached to this world because we know that we have a better home, an eternal home in heaven. So first of all, in the life of Abraham is the divine call. But then I want you to notice something else. In a sense, the achievement of faith is described in verse 12 where we read, "Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Abraham did not within himself have the power to conceive seed, nor did Sarah, and yet God brought them the promised seed. seed. He brought them descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. God is the one who made Abraham's faith effective. Finally, I want to say something about how Abraham was able to live by faith. How was Abraham able to live by faith? There are some clues here as to how Abraham was able to live by faith. We read in verse 10, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." And verse 16 says, "But as it is, they desire a better country," that is, a heavenly one. Abraham fixed his eyes upon a heavenly city because he knew that this world and all that is in it is passing away. The focus of his gaze was upon the eternal God who is the builder of that heavenly city of which we, as believers in Christ, are citizens. If we could just fix our gaze upon God, I believe we could live in this world by faith. The problem is our gaze is fixed on this world and we know too little about God. We read in verse 19, "He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Did you hear that? He considered that God was able. That is the omnipotence of God. God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, and Abraham knew that all of his hope for the fulfillment of God's promise to him lay in that son, Isaac. He was the promised son. So he reasoned that if God wanted him to kill Isaac, then God must be able to raise Isaac from the dead because that was what it was going to take to keep his promise. So he was willing to do what God required him to do because he took into consideration God. He took into consideration God and what God is able to do. When the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary and told her that she had found favor with God, and that she would bear a son and call his name Jesus, Mary questioned the angel and said, "How can this be, since I am a virgin and I have never known a man?" The angel Gabriel said to her, "Nothing is impossible with God." When you bring God into consideration, there is no impossibility with Him doing what He has promised to do. I wonder, as we think about all the things that puzzle us in our lives, have we considered God? Have we really considered that God is able to keep His promises? We read in verse 11, "By faith, Sarah herself received the power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered Him faithful who had promised." This verse is about Sarah. But in the context, it is true of Abraham too. She considered him faithful who had promised. Abraham considered him faithful who had promised. Five times in this passage, that word promise is used. Twice in verse 9 and once each in verses 11, 13, and 17. Sarah and Abraham considered him faithful who had promised. And that is God. What does that mean? Well, that means simply they had confidence in the Word of God. This was the thing that characterized the life of Abraham. He believed the Word of God. He believed it was truly the Word of God and that God would be true to His Word. The question is, do you believe the Word of God? If these Scriptures that we have before us are truly the Word of the eternal God, then it means the promises in them will come true. When the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that will come true. When Jesus says in the Scriptures, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That will come true. When Jesus says in the Scriptures, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. That will come true. When the Scripture says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose, it is true. When the Word of God says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, that will come true. Abraham's secret is faith in the Word of God. He had a whole lot less of the Word of God than we have today. He had the promise that God had given him, which was repeated and was narrowed down to him and to Sarah. But think of the promises that we have today. We have seen now thousands of years of the fulfillment of the Word of God and the faithfulness of God. We have seen the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who has come, has brought God into full revelation, has offered the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We know from the Scriptures that He's at the right hand of the Father. And there He is continuing His ministry for us as our great High Priest. We have no excuse for not responding in faith to the Word of God. And it is certainly in our best interest to do it. Let's pray.